This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast.
The Hidden Killers Podcast.
With Tony Bruschi.
We are talking with retired FBI Special Agent, Chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, Robin Dreek. Always interesting to have these conversations with Robin. I want to open it up to you on the behaviors and get your analysis on Lori Vallow Daybell and what we've seen over the last week or so in court.
It was really shocking more than anything. You know, her testimony, the opening trial testimony was shocking. It quickly got out of the realm of just abnormal psychology and abnormal behavior to deep, disturbing behavior. The fact, I mean, it was really bad. I didn't realize until I listened to that testimony the other day that it took 10 months for her to actually be ruled sane enough to even stand trial.
Yes, it was. I mean, that was in that one window. But yeah, and then she was deemed mentally competent to stand trial, and then not again, and then kind of came back again from that, and that's where we sit right now.
Yeah. So to me, that says it all right there. I mean, I think we're going to hear a lot more really disturbing things as the days progress on this case. Unfortunately, it was really tragic, and I think the saddest part I was watching the other night was when the grandmother that got the last FaceTime call from from the son.
Yeah.
And that's the last contact they had. I mean, how horrible and how disturbing that entire situation was. And then the calls that she's having with her friend and the delusion she's having about, you know, to this Satan is influencing her. I mean, it was just way out there.
I at one moment when I was listening to it last week, I just thought, you know, take this out of context for a little bit. And in reality, say, because it's an American courtroom. And here's what's being asked of. Of the witness. One was, were you ever present while JJ climbed on the ceiling or crawled up to the ceiling or the walls?
Yeah.
It's like, no, I was not. But there was a moment in time here where the friend who was testifying on Friday was very much visiting Lori as a friend. This was before she kind of turned and said, I think you might be kind of crazy. But there was many weeks, months, really, possibly even years, where Lori would be saying these sort of bizarre things. And some of the friends that were involved in this version of their religion would be, oh, wow, that's amazing. I hear you. I hear you. And they would almost, I don't want to say encourage, but they would empathize with her as if what she was saying was fact. That's kind of scary that there's others out there that are that easy to jump along with the crazy bandwagon of this.
Yeah, I agree with you wholeheartedly. It was really just disturbing on so many levels, like you were saying. And I really wonder how far back, you know, because they went into her background of her being, you know, this beauty queen and doing all these pageants when she's younger. And it just between that and what she's doing now and her philosophies on life, I really wonder when her brain shifted, or was it always this way? Because there's a long-standing pattern of unusual behavior. And I don't mean to say the beauty queen stuff was just that's when they started referencing her in the trial. But it was just really kind of, like you said, her circle of people. When we go just to normal human behavior, we always become who we surround ourselves with. And if we surround ourselves with people that have an interesting outlook on the world like these people do, you start absorbing it. It goes into, you know, what Robert Greene in his book, Laws of Human Nature, talks about is we just want to have our own thoughts and opinions validated. And so if we have a bit off viewpoint of the world through our own religions, our morals, our ethics, or whatever it is, we're going to start surrounding ourselves with people and information that validate that kind of thought process. And the deeper you go into it, and then when you start entering, you know, the realm that goes way outside of my box, and this is really dealing with mental illness, you know, it really capitalizes on it. And I think that's what we saw right here. And then you have what I think we're seeing across a spectrum in the United States and maybe at the world at large right now. And this is what the pattern I think we were talking about last week is. people have lost their ability to solve problems healthy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just, yeah. So here's a situation with someone who's dealing with mental illness, and for some reason or other, she wants to get out of another marriage, and she has situations she wants to deal with, and she is picked, granted, because I know we have mental health involved here, but she has picked the most unhealthy way in which to do that. And so all these people that we're seeing doing all these murders across the country mm-hmm. that seem to be doing so flippantly, as it's a way to solve a problem. This is a horrible state of where we're at.
And that's very true. To the rest of us who are in a healthier state, these sort of solutions would never even cross our mind. Like, okay, you want to get out of the marriage or something. Okay, get a divorce or, you know, something that's going to be normal, healthy, and not in the realm of, you know, mentally ill or crazy or illegal or horrible. But for some reason, these options seem to be there for several people when they consider these choices, and it's there just as much as a valid option as a divorce, as being separated. It's like, oh yes, murder seems to be a valid one, and it might even be a little more efficient than some of these others, and people are choosing that. What is off here? Why do we have so much of this right now, where that sort of balance and understanding of what's reasonable behavior seems to be so out of whack?
You know, I think it's coming in from a lot of vectors, Tony. And we saw it during the Alex Murdoch trial. I mean, he chose a method to solve his problem by killing his son and his wife mm-hmm. because he, granted, now he's got drug addiction issues and everything else that impeded his judgment, obviously. But that was what he thought was a reasonable way to solve a problem. I think these things are coming in from all these different areas. You know, social media obviously plays into this hugely. News on the TV does. Everyone's trying to really get people caught up in the cult of more and the disease of comparison. And the more these things get shown, I think more people think it is a way to solve a problem. And then let's go back to that, like we're saying, these healthy relationships. It's these things are not placing blame on situations, it's just understanding the impact. And I really think, I don't know the stats on this. Is obviously we're talking very anecdotal here, but man, there seems to be an awful big spike in a lot of these things after COVID. I think the COVID lockdowns did a lot of damage that we're not seeing, that we didn't see at the time, but are really manifesting themselves right now. And also with younger people too. And there's a few cases that, you know, we can obviously talk about as well on this. Younger people also, generationally, they've had a closer relationship with their parents in general than past generations. And there's been a lot, I mean, even with my own kids, my kids are in their 20s, mm-hmm. you know, where there's a lot more mentorship and guiding at a much younger age and a lot more closeness. And all of a sudden, when they're thrown into the world without a close mentor and guide, mm-hmm. it's like going from 100 miles an hour to zero, and they don't know what to do. And so, again, their problem-solving skill set is not fully developed to at least to the degree of the past generations. And so that adds into it. So I think we've got a lot of different vectors that are impacting people's healthy decision-making process. And COVID, I think, is a massive impact on it as well.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast
with Tony Bruschi.
Robin Drake, retired FBI Special Agent, Chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program. Thank you so much. His website, peopleformula.com. My name is Tony Bruschi. If you like the show, be sure to press subscribe wherever you're downloading podcasts so you don't miss any breaking updates and discussions on the cases we're following for you. Get an ad-free experience when you sign up through Apple Podcasts right now. Check that out. I'm Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.